CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Emma Southern, A Rome of One's Own, The Forgotten Women of the Roman Empire. The women who were not royal, who were not part of the coups and backstabbings and famous ambitious tellings of histories to please Augustus, or in Tacitus' case, to please himself. We go now to Julia Felix, whom we know of because of Vesuvius. Remember the ash rained down on Pompeii and Herculaneum. And the excavations since the 18th century are telling a story that nowhere else is written. The lives of ordinary Romans and the spectacular Julia Felix. Sometime around 60 CE, 62 CE, she has a better idea to build an establishment on her own, And that what's striking here is that women in the Roman telling do not have the power of owning things. They must own it through their fathers or brothers or husbands. But Julia Felix, who might even be illegitimate, is a powerful imagination. And if you see the pictures of her place that has been excavated, it's vast, it's attractive, it'd work today. Emma, it's impossible not to love Julia Felix. And her fate may be with Vesuvius, but what have we learned so far about how she conducted herself? Was this commonplace for women, or is Julia Felix standing all by herself as a woman of property?
I think it's more commonplace than the written sources would allow you to believe. When you look at archaeology, you find women running all kinds of businesses, being involved in life in their own right, in public life in their own right, all over. And Pompeii is one of these places where we can see what kind of small businesses looks like. Julia Felix runs this entertainment complex, basically. It has a baths that people can visit, which she says are fitted for the well-to-do. So they're kind of bougie baths. And then she has a hot food restaurant. She has gardens. She has shops and apartments for rent as well. And what appears to be like a little restaurant for people to have a nice meal out as well. And so it's right next to the amphitheater where gladiatorial games and theater was held. And so she has a really nice entertainment space that she runs by herself. And the reason we know about it is that just as Vesuvius erupted, she had put up a for rent sign outside and was offering it so that somebody else could run it and she could go off and do some other business for at least 5 years. And she described what she was putting up for rent in that advert. And it's a real insight into one, the kind of entertainment and nights out and things people could do in their leisure time, but also that a woman was running this all by herself.
There's a wall painting, 25 meters long. Is it 25? Yeah, 25 meters long. Huge. And what does it show?
It shows Pompeii in the Forum on market day, and is a kind of very realistic, naturalistic depiction of people and the things that they would do in the Forum. So it has children being taught, it has people buying shoes, it has people selling things like tools and fabrics. It has, my favorite bit is that it shows a man with a dog on a string and a woman is giving him money. So he's interpreted as a beggar with a dog on a string being given charity. And it shows the kind of middle classes of Pompeii and what they would do in their daily business and how they would just go around and do their daily shopping and read the notices in the Forum and educate their children. And it's lovely.
And this whole establishment was a entertainment center for people of means who were not going to ever be super rich. This was a moment, you emphasized, this was a moment where they could live like the rich for one night.
Yeah, so you can go to this, you can be in a nice bath that are not the giant public baths with thousands of people in them. You can be in one that only has 10 or 12 people and which are beautifully put together. You can be in a space which is quiet, which is a garden with running water and fish and is not full of other people playing games. And you can have a reclined dinner, which is something that only the rich do. It's a reclining at dinner is a sign of real luxury, because it means you have people to serve that to you. And so you can have a night out in the same way that you might go to like a very nice restaurant in your town, or you might go out for a special night on your anniversary. They could go out and have a special night that experience luxury for a single night when they can't have it every day at home.
She had a private apartment in the back that was quite luxurious as well. And it may be that she died with Vesuvius, because they found a skeleton across the garden with gold rings and gold necklaces. Is it your opinion that's likely her?
I think it probably is likely her. I think it's more likely to be her than anybody else. That it's a rich woman that died. She has a lot of jewelry on her, and she's not facing to be running away. She's facing towards the sanctuary that was at the back, the sanctuary of Isis. And so I think that it's probably that she died in Vesuvius with her building.
From 79 CE, we go to the other edge of the empire. This is just south of Hadrian's Wall, if you visited Hadrian's Wall in the north, not far from where Scotland begins. And this is a Roman fort, Vindolanda, that was found just here in the late 20th century. And they're still excavating it. They're still finding things. Roman fort at the edge, because after Cartimandua traveled to Rome, the Romans had to worry about the Brigantes rising again. So they built a string of forts before Hadrian's Wall. Hadrian's Wall is 122 CE. This is about 95. This fort was built in 85 CE, following Emma's very careful reporting. And somewhere between 95 and 110, somewhere in there, with Trajan, emperor now, because Domitian, who is not successful as the last of the Flavians, wanders off. He's probably assassinated.
He was assassinated.
Yes.
In his own bedroom, he was assassinated.
He comes to a violent end. And Nerva, who probably was responsible for the assassination, then relieves the whole empire. And then Trajan comes in and is a good emperor. And the forts were meant to establish the limits of the frontier. And two women living in forts separated by a number of miles correspond with each other. And the discovery is of the cards writing back and forth to them, also a lot of business with the fort. The important people are Sulpicia Lepidina writing to her friend Claudia Severa. And what do these letters tell us about them?
The first one that was found was a birthday party invitation written inviting Sulpicia Lepidina to a party at nearby fort. We don't know where the nearby fort was. Briga, it's called, but it's not yet been found. But it's a birthday party invitation, and the invitation shows us that, one, there are these two women who are highly educated writing to one another, that they're having parties in these forts on the far edge of the Roman Empire, that they have a social scene that's occurring amongst women of equestrian rank. And they also mention their children. So we know that there are full families that live there alongside the soldiers. And the letters go backwards and forwards with them visiting one another for various celebrations. So for New Year, they see each other. They may hold religious festivals together. And their husbands write to each other as well and buy each other presents. And they reveal a real a space where it's not just men being men, which is Spartan and hard and entirely military and completely cut off from the rest of Rome, but is a space where families live, where women live, and where they have a social life that is more than just kind of grim fort as you might imagine them.
Yes, the fort has an ability to rebuild itself every time there's a new deployment. And this is Cohor Batatarorum, which means these are not from Italy. These are not Romans. By this time in the Roman Empire, at the end of the first century, the Romans have, remember, they're very good at making you work for yourself and paying them. The Batavians have been trouble. These are Batavian soldiers, auxiliaries for the Roman army, led by a Batavian commander who is Lepidina's husband. His name is Seralis. And back home where they came from, the Batavians are obedient because their sons and brothers and heirs are off guarding Britain, taking it very seriously. What I liked especially about this is the Roman army didn't allow you to marry, but the fort is filled with women and families, and so clearly marriage was a legal term. These are all men, the troopers, the centurions, and the officers must all have their wives with them.
They all have their wives with them. They have their children there. A lot of people bring wives with them that live in the fort with them. What we have is lots and lots of shoes from Vindolanda in particular. And there's hundreds of women's shoes, very nice women's shoes, children's shoes all over the fort that show that it's not just the commanders that bring wives with them and that have women living with them in long-term relationships with children, but also the kind of average rank and file soldiers also have women in their quarters that live there and that work alongside them. It's not a space of that has no domesticity.
Also, lots of lists. I love the Romans.
They love a list. They love a list. They love paperwork.
Roast wild swan. Do you have such a thing today in the 21st century?
It's illegal now to eat a swan. The king owns all the swans. Sounds very medieval, but you're not allowed to eat swans anymore.
Well, they had meals that were not, I mean, to call them lavish is an understatement. And you make a list of what they drank at one meal.
Yeah, all of the beer, the 300 gallons of beer that they have at one point, and crates of wine that they have for a festival, and wild boar is very popular. Yeah, they have extremely nice food, and there's lists of the furniture and the accessories that Leopardina brought with her when she had to decorate the fort that has, you know, curtains and bronze lamps and special white blankets, which is very expensive, and lots of bronze and silver. And they're living a nice life there.
Emma Southern is the author. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.